Welcome to Up Close and Personal with Adele, an exclusive hour, commercial-free, devoted to the lady in the album that everyone's talking about. I'm Julie James, and coming up, Adele will sing live from the historic Church Studios in London, England, and she'll share stories about her new album, 25, starting with the pressure of following up the success of 21.
When I first started making this record, or when I was preparing to, I thought maybe I had a bit too much to live up to, and I thought I'd never write a record that was better than 21. But I quickly realised that I never will, and that any record I ever do will always follow 21. So my fourth, fifth and sixth album will always be following my second album, just because of the impact that 21 had. And then I got annoyed about that. And then actually I was like, as an artist, that's the only thing I could ever ask for, is to have a record that is like my record, and to have a song like Someone Like You, for example, that defines me. And it's weird, because when I wrote Someone Like You, I knew that was my song. I knew, I didn't think it would be big like that, but I knew that would be the song that people would be like, oh, Adele, oh yeah, Someone Like You. I just knew it. I know, I just, and I was very proud of it. I was like, I'm fine with that being my tune, I don't mind. Like, so I got over it pretty quickly. And I also got over the fact that I didn't want to feel like how I felt when I wrote 21. It was a horrible feeling. I hated how I felt when I was 21, and the inspiration behind that record was lonely. I don't want to feel like that, regardless of being a mum. I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to be that lonely again. It's not worth it. And I did it. I did it, and I did that record, and that record changed my life, and it'll be every single day for the rest of my life I'll be reminded of that album, and that's a beautiful thing that I appreciate. So I just left 21. Also, 21 belongs to people. It doesn't belong to me no more. It's not even my album. Do you know what I mean? So really, I had a clean slate right in this album, you know? And once I got into that headspace of, I just want to make music, then my new songs came. I knew that Hello would be the first song that I would come back with in any capacity, just because of the opening line and stuff like that. And at first I was a bit like, is this too obvious? But then it's so conversational, and I wanted to have a conversation with everyone. So I knew that. I think some people involved were a bit like, we were kind of toying between, well, we weren't, they were toying between that and a sort of, you know, much more upbeat, sort of poppier number that I have for the record. But I want it to be Hello, and I think Hello represents the tone of the album, not necessarily the heaviness of it, but definitely the kind of tone of it. It's blown my mind, the reaction to Hello, for sure.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing? it's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
Adele, live from the Church Studios in London, England. The response to Hello was staggering. From first day sales and video views, Adele had no idea how much we all missed her.
Actually, I called my manager, actually panicking a little bit. And I'd done a couple of like pre-recorded radio interviews with America the night before. And they were all going on about the Friday, like what a big day it was. And I hadn't really prepared myself, you know. And I'm sort of very much still a full-time mum, so while I'm having, like, food thrown at me, I'm, you know, having to do this interview and stuff like that, I'm pretty unprepared for the whole thing, because I've known it's been coming for a long time, but when it happens, you can't really prepare yourself for it anyway. I didn't sleep very well, and I was really worried, but also had to be up at 3 a.m, so you don't really sleep because you think you're going to miss your alarm. The whole thing was pretty... I was pretty anxious, but it was fun, and... After I heard it on the radio, it was such a relief. Like, I went to the toilet and cried my eyes out. Like, such a relief not to hold a secret anymore. Such a relief for the pressure to be like, right, it's out now. I heard it while I was at Radio 1 doing my interview, and that was amazing. And, like, seeing their reaction was amazing. And then it was only on Sunday I heard it come on the radio. I was visiting friends. And I got so excited. It was, like, the first time I heard Daydreamer on Radio 1 when I was, like, 18. And I was super chuffed that I felt as excited. The lyric, it's so typical of me to talk about myself, I'm sorry, is that's what I do. I talk about myself all the time. I take like topic of conversations and make them into my own. I think everything's about me in my normal like life, day-to-day life. If someone be telling me their experience, oh, yeah, I know about that. That happened to me once, you know, that sort of stuff. So I've always, but since I was like a child, I've done it. But definitely, like, I feel like whenever I'm nervous and I'm talking to someone that I haven't spoken to for ages, whoever they are, I just talk and talk and talk, you know. And on stage, when I get nervous, I talk and talk and talk and talk. You know, you forget to ask someone else how they are. You forget to check they're enjoying the show and stuff like that. So it was just that, really. But it's probably one of my favourite lines I've ever written. It's such a normal thing to say, but I'm glad I managed to get it into a song because it's quite a deep song and it's very humorous, that line. And whenever I've played it to anyone, I've seen them sort of laugh or their eyebrows raise with that line. It's just a little moment of release from the chains. But the drama thing of it, I don't know, I didn't want to change my formula, not my formula, because I don't go into studio being like, this is my formula, but, you know, I like writing ballads and it seems to be how I best connect with people. So I didn't want to like try and stray and write like a mad piece of music to like show off my like artistry. I'm not into that. Like, I'll listen to it if someone else does it, but I ain't gonna challenge myself like that. So it was like I didn't want to change anything about how I make music, but I wanted to evolve it a tiny bit. And although I've definitely written a ballad before, I haven't written a ballad like Hello. Like, it's a bit Meatloaf. Like, you know, it's what it is. So, you know, it's just me evolving my own sound. And also, it's pretty modern. Although it's got a bit of an 80s thing about it, it's very modern compared to any ballad I've ever done. Me and Greg, who I did the song with, Greg Kirsten, we wrote it just like me and him on piano, like in the live room. And I think the opening line was like, Hello, Misery or something. We were like, God, that's depressing. We were like, I wasn't Misery Guts or anything like that. And then it sort of happened really quickly, that verse, and we did the whole song on piano. And then I wanted to add a production to it because I didn't want to do another just piano ballad, because I'd done it with someone like you and Hometown Glory and stuff like that. And I want it to subtly creep up on you and by the end be like where you want to, like, you know, like open the window and scream down the street for your boyfriend from when you're like 10 or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was very intentional. But I wanted it to be super intimate, you know. I wanted people to first hear it like how we wrote it, which was just piano and vocal. And the BVs, I love doing BVs. Like, I'm not very good at them. There's a very good reason that I'm never going to be a backing singer, because it takes me, like, I do more takes of BVs than I do of the lead vocal, like, on my songs. But I just love it. I love getting into character. And that's something I got from Paul Epworth, about getting into character with BVs and making all sorts of weird sounds to make it not sound like you. So the BVs, I get carried away with. And any writer or producer that's willing to entertain me trying to do BVs, all day long.
Without any warning to fans, Adele anonymously released a 30-second teaser of Hello during the UK version of the TV show X Factor. And with that, the world whipped into a frenzy on social media at the thought of new music from Adele.
I was talking about yesterday with some friends of mine how much I underestimated the internet, because when I last released an album, which was like the Jurassic Ages, because Twitter and Instagram didn't even exist. It existed by the time the campaign finished, but not when it started. And I, like, you know, I've sort of been going, I don't think the internet's that important for this campaign and all that, you know. And then the advert went out on the X Factor, and I've never seen anything like it. I had no idea so many people were online. I know that sounds ridiculous. That's like a 50-year-old, but, like, I mean, there's more 50-year-olds online than I even think, do you know what I mean? But I was quite blown away by the impact of the power of the people. And it was nice, because I felt like the success of 21 was down to people, because they passed it on and they recommended it and stuff like that. And they must have lost a lot of the albums as well for that many copies to have been sold. And I felt like this time they were doing it again. They were tweeting about it and tumbling it or whatever, tumblers and, oh, I don't know, a bit out of touch with that stuff. But, you know, I was almost like snubbing it at first, thinking it wasn't going to be important, but actually it's the most important thing. I had no idea. It's amazing.
Recorded live at the Church Studios in London, England, it's Adele in this exclusive Up Close and Personal.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your sheep bare. See how I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me, oh, must they keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep, you have my heart inside of your hand, but you played it to the beach. So, baby, I have no story to be told, but I've heard one on you, and I'm gonna make your head burn. Think of me in them depths of your despair. Make it home down there as my show won't be shared. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love.
This is Up Close and Personal with Adele, featuring tracks from 25, recorded live at the historic Church Studios in London, England.
I only wanted to have fun, learning to fly, learning to run. Let my heart decide the way when I was young. Deep down, I must have always known that this would be inevitable. To earn my stripes, I'd have to pay and bear my soul. Streets where I grew up and found my feet, they can't look me in the eye. It's like they're scared of me. I try to think of things to say, like a joke or a memory, but they don't recognize me now. The light of day. Throne, but that was a million years ago.